Hello and welcome to this week's Comic Roast. I'm your host, Scott, and you can find me on Twitter at XOrsonX. And I'm here with Mike. You can find on Twitter at Review and Roast. You can find us on the Instagram at Instagram.com/Review and Roast or Instagram.com/Star Wars Tabletop. And you can find our Facebook at Facebook.com/Review and Roast. All of our written reviews you can find at ReviewandRoast.com, and all of our podcasts you can find at ComicRoast.com. That should be about it for all the websites. And now that we've taken up 30 minutes of your day, let's jump into
the stuff.
The stuff and the things. So we figured since just last week, The Last Jedi was released on Blu-ray, we figured we would do go back a few months and do Star Wars The Storms of Crait. Now, this was a one-shot, or was this an actual
one-shot?
Just a one-shot?
So what they're doing is Star Wars is currently releasing, well, Star Wars comics are currently releasing, they're basically The Last Jedi one-shots. So we just did a podcast recently on DJ,
right.
Most Wanted. That was directly related to The Last Jedi movie.
Yep.
It gave us our, I don't even want to say an origin story, but it gave us the quick comeuppance of DJ, who was played by Benicio Del Toro in the movie. This book that we're talking about right now is The Storms of Crait, and if you recall, in the movie, the big epic ground battle takes place on the salt planet of Crait, with the red salt and all the stuff and the speeders. And this book describes Crait, or is an event that happened long ago on Crait, just giving you kind of a, this is how the people know about it.
Circles the globe in search of a listener. Can you hear me now?
Well, let me give you the better backstory, actually.
Yeah, hit me with the scroll.
It's a period of urgency within the Rebel Alliance. Ever since the destruction of the evil Galactic Empire's Death Star and the Battle of Yavin...
Yavin?
The Rebels have been on the run in search of a new location to hold their base of operations. Rebellion hero Princess Leia of Alderaan has made the search for her personal mission with the help of her friends Luke Skywalker and smuggler Han Solo. However, finding a new secret location to hide from the Imperial Army is much harder when they're hot on the tail of the Millennium Falcon. What the hell's the Aluminum Falcon?
They really hate that ship. So,
so yeah, that's the basis of this book. So, I mean, yes, it leads into why there was a Rebel base on Crait, but it also was 30 fucking years ago.
Right.
So,
and basically, yeah, this is just a short mission, a one-shot book that's not even very deep. It's like any other Star Wars comic in size, you know, with a independent little story. And literally, it's just kind of a Last Jedi tie-in, which is actually kind of cool. The DJ one we liked, I mean, well enough. I mean,
DJ one was more current. This one is just, it's setting up the base. Yeah.
Yeah, this is set up way long ago. The DJ comic happened a mere 2 days before The Last Jedi. This one is in the time of Han,
Leia, and Leia. Tomato, tomato.
Yeah, right. Han, Luke, and Leia, and Chewie back in the day. With Mon Mothma makes a nice appearance in this book. Because she's still leading the rebellion back then, obviously. This probably takes place sometime between A New Hope and Empire. If I had to take a stab at it, I don't know that they exactly set it up in that scroll, but...
not really, but they, yeah. You know...
In my limited experience in Star Wars, I would say it's somewhere between A New Hope and The Empire Strikes Back.
Right.
My opinion. So, that's it.
This also comic... I mean, it was late. Well, in the comic, I should say, it was Leia's idea to go to Crait. You know, and people are like, oh my god, that's like a dead planet. Like, what are we gonna do for nightlife? And she's like, dead planets tell no secrets, or
yeah,
you know, something like that, more or less.
Yeah, like dead is good because no one would think that there'd be any reason for anyone to be there.
Right, and a friend of her father's by the name of Trusk Burnado, is she's been in contact with him to kind of say, hey, like he's the real estate agent and he's showing her the base.
Yeah, basically. He seems to be like the Cloud City Lando, except for Crate.
Right.
Like he's just the local main dude running the mining facility or whatever.
Basically. Yeah. Now, mind you.
And very much, this turns out to be very much like the Cloud City Lando encounter.
It does. Well, there's a reason. Because, mm-hmm. Well, I mean, nobody trusts him.
Well,
except for Leia, sort of.
Well, allegedly, Leia gives off the impression that she trusts him.
Right.
Mothma absolutely doesn't, but she allows the mission to happen. When they get there, Han and she and Han have a pretty good discussion about it, and him being very adamant about the fact that he does not trust anything about anything that's happening right now.
Right.
And she's like, yeah, whatever. Like, I need to talk.
Yeah, well, it's a good thing I'm in charge then.
Right. Pretty much.
And in true Star Wars fashion, Luke Skywalker is still a crybaby.
He does some whining. He does a little bit of whining. He's, that's, again, why his skills are still incomplete. And he is.
Yes. Well, it's still very new to him.
And he's also still very eager to get into the shit. So this whole mission, in his opinion, is almost like beneath him. He's like, ah, you know, we're just driving around cargo and looking for, you know, a new apartment. Like, this ain't, like, I need to
be. Yeah, I was a farm boy on Tatooine, and now I'm just on a different type of farm.
Yeah, right. You know? Yeah.
But he is the one that kind of, I don't want to say saved the day, but it was more of a, like, he recognized certain things
right,
in the area. Not that salt and sand are the same thing, but, you know, similar reactions and similar,
right.
You know, mm-hmm. Hey, man, when this shit happened back home, it was no good. So,
yeah.
Oh, geez, we need to run.
I think there's a storm of brewing. So, yeah, so basically the whole thing circles around that this planet is dead. There's a big storm coming. Who knows how long it could be. This storm could go for days or years.
Right.
But they definitely know that it is deadly and has killed before, could happen again. While all this is going on, we now have the presence or the illusion of the presence of Imperials.
Yep.
Stormtroopers, specifically Scar Squadron, which seemed to be pertinent for some reason. I haven't seen them in a lot of comics. I don't read the Star Wars one religiously, which I'm probably going to start now that we're stay tuned. We're going to be doing more and more Star Wars comics. This is going to be a thing. Full Star Wars
podcast in general
at some point in time is the new theme, but there's a high probability we might have to do Star Wars, the main comic that's currently running in like its 40 something issue right now. We're not going to start over from the beginning, but there's so much crossover event. Like, we're reading Dr. Aphra, we're reading the new Vader, we're going to be podcasting the old Vader soon. This just turned into a comic roast, review and roast a commercial break.
Yeah,
but,
right.
But
this issue brought to you by our only sponsor, Review and Roast.
Us. Yeah. Brought to you by Mike and Scott. Kind of sad. Yeah, I know, I was just going to. All of these, the Scar Squadron, I'm guessing, is alluded to in other books. Otherwise, it wouldn't be relevant. So, but one of the Stormtroopers was flinging around a lightsaber, which was interesting and news to me. So now I need to research that. It's going to
bug me. You know, it didn't even dawn on me until you said that would be a weird thing.
What do you mean? You just thought it was normal? That
I just didn't even pay that close attention. Oh. You know what? And it's not.
And there's probably a reason, and that's why they know it's Scar Squadron, and these guys are like the elite squadron of standard troopers, which I dig it because they have that in like the animated series. There was always whatever in Battlefront 2, the game. There's the elite squadron, you know, so there's always whatever. So I get it. So this is just the elite squadron that's set to task of these particular rebels. Probably in charge of finding the Falcon, if I had to guess.
Yeah, they hate that ship.
Yep.
Here's probably part of the reason I glossed over it, because, I mean, let's face it. I understand what they're trying to do with, like, setting up, like, where this base came from. But wasn't as compelling to me as DJ, who's an actual character.
For sure.
But what threw me off the most about this, and I don't want to say threw me off, but the thing I just, it's like, you know, the artwork is you know, your standard comic artwork, but all of, like, the characters have that, like, hyper-realistic drawn look, right, and it's just like, ugh.
Yeah.
It just, it took me out of it.
Some of them are, and they kind of go back and forth.
Yeah, it's
weird. To be honest, obviously from far away. But to be honest, it's kind of weird because a lot of the Han Solo up close and personal, I kind of get a Kurt Russell look
on right,
a couple
on.
Of them. I mean, with the exception, they nail, like, the chin scar, the you know, but there's a couple of them where there's, like, a bar of him, like, four in a row, and, like, I swear, like, one in the middle looks like it's, like, Kurt Russell from Tango and Cash. But, I mean, nothing. I love me some Kurt Russell, too, so.
I don't know.
I actually like when they do it with, like, Mon Mothma, though, so I'm with you on that.
They really
I like it, and I don't like it sometimes, but.
Like, right, I mean, it damn near looks like they took a picture. You know what I mean? No, like, that's just.
I actually don't mind it.
I don't know. It just
you want it to be. Well,
the rest
comics?
Of it is drawn like a comic book, and then you got like the realistic faces. It's just.
Yeah, I think that's just for.
It didn't do it for me.
Yeah, actually, I kind of actually didn't hate it. I actually kind of liked it.
Actually, kind of felt they went a little too blonde hair, blue eyed on Skywalker.
They always most of those comics. I mean, he's way blonde, even in all that. Afro crossover stuff.
Like, I mean, you just step away from wearing the uniform. You know what I mean?
Yeah. If you, we'll probably be doing the Dr. Afro set. Yeah, we'll be doing the Dr. Afro set soon, and you'll read that's the Screaming Citadel, where it kind of crosses over, and Luke's in it. It's about him, and they do the same thing, but they go back and forth. So there'll be like one where it like looks just like Mark Hamill, and there's another one where it just looks like some dude with blonde hair.
Yeah,
and they're very adamant about mentioning the blonde hair all the time. It's super weird. Like they're like, oh yeah, blonde haired curly fruitcake. You know, they're just super weird about it. Like it's like, why do you even bring up that he's a blonde?
Yeah.
Anyways,
because and I don't want to get into semantics here, but like, you know what I mean? Like it's more like a dirty. Blonde,
no,
light brown than it is an actual blonde, but he almost looks like a bleached, you know, bratty farm boy, which but I guess the ladies like. So.
They do. The ladies do like them, some bratty farm boy.
With frosted tips.
Yeah, tips. So anyways, yeah, I mean, basically, long story short, they meet with Trusk, they're going to talk business, business gets foiled. Leia was kind of onto the whole plan the whole time, but she was given Trust the opportunity to do the right thing, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, she knew the whole time.
Short battle ensues, and obviously Luke, Leia, Han, and Chewie make it.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
Well, here's the one thing, too, with went back to Trusk, is he would have got away with it if it wasn't for these meddling kids.
Yeah, these meddling kids. So, yeah, I mean, in a nutshell, that's legit. That's it.
Yeah, it's basically just setting up. Where the base...
Like I said, it's...
The origins of a base, which was kind of odd.
No, yeah, I mean, it was just a short story in an on location of one of the planets used in the movie.
Right.
So, I'm actually a big fan of them. I mean, I don't think that this book was as good as DJ, obviously.
Yeah, right.
But I don't want them to stop doing these. I don't care. I'm not going to rate this a 5 or anything, but if... even if I did, I wouldn't want them to stop. I mean, they can't. They're not all gonna be winners. That's fine. But
I
still like the information. I like the use of stuff.
Right.
So, I'm all for it.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
Do you have our? Do you have the drive open?
The Google Drive.
Yeah. What did we give? What did we do for? What's it called?
For what?
The hang on, I got it too. Actually, finally, like hooked myself up.
I don't know what
up.
You mean. For DJ, I didn't keep track.
Oh, yeah, you didn't.
Right.
I think I was, I don't even remember where I was. I was probably in this.
Yeah, I got to redo this
7.75 range. But this book, I'm going to go ahead and rate it. I'm going to give it a 6.
You want me to go first?
I'm in the 6.5. I think I'm going to leave it at a 6.
That's exactly where I'm at.
Yeah. I mean,
which is funny because you're like, I mean, it wasn't bad. I'm not going to give it a 5. I'm going to give it a 6.
Well, I mean, 3 out of 5 stars. What do you want? I'd watch that
no,
movie.
No, I mean, it's.
I'd read that book.
No, there's nothing. You know. There's nothing wrong with it. It.
Yeah, I feel like sometimes our 10 range gives us a little bit higher score, but obviously.
Well, I mean, if it wasn't.
Everyone thinks 3 out of 5 stars is good, but you give something a 6 out of 10 and they think you're an asshole. You know what I mean?
No.
So, I mean, it's true.
No,
so.
It's still, there's nothing wrong with it. It's just, I mean, I get what they're doing. And I guess for me personally, if the location itself wasn't so just interesting in the movie,
Know
what I mean?
Well, I think that's the whole point, though. So
no, exactly.
That's why
I'll give it a six.
If this was just some random story in the Star Wars series on some place.
Planet that didn't mean anything.
It'd just be a regular
run-of-the-mill
book, which, I mean, and to be honest, I mean, what's your average book in any series? 6.5 or 7 tops? I mean, when you're scrolling through, they're not all 9s. You know what I mean?
Yeah, not everything can be Royal City Next of Kin.
Yeah, I mean, it was all right. What did we give that?
I gave it a 9. You gave it an 8.5.
It's pretty good.
Which I was surprised. I thought you were going to come in lower, but you said...
No, I told you. The
ending.
Chapter 5.
But
if it ended after 4 chapters,
woo! 8.2.
Yeah, I don't even know what I'm telling you. I was thinking of that thing, and I was like, man, this thing better shape up.
Or ship
Scott's
going
to be upset.
No, I just would have edited you out of the entire podcast. It would have been me asking weird questions to nobody.
And then answering the response, the rebuttal.
Right. I tried to do my best mic voice.
Yeah.
That was a little high-pitched, but, you know, yeah. It was close.
So, yeah, that's it. That's all I got. I like it.
No, yeah.
We'll keep them. We're going to keep up with these, and we're going to start, whether we keep these in the Comic Roast or in the to-be-named Star Wars cast.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens. We'll probably do the one-shots probably still in the Comic Roast. Why not?
Yeah, who knows? We'll figure it out when we...
There's a lot of comics and a lot of content and a lot of Star Wars stuff, so it only makes sense to sort of separate... the stuffage.
Yeah, a lot of our meetings start with the plan of, all right, I'll be over at 8 o'clock, and then he gets here at 8 o'clock, and then we end up playing board games for 6 hours.
Yep.
Oh shit. Oh, I guess we'll just talk about this on Monday. Oh, we got to play Overwatch because now that we got like a team, we actually
teams
kind of been doing crushing. So,
and we just did. We just played Star Wars Rebellion again, so that'll be coming out pretty soon. I know the game is old, but still fun.
We've only played it 3 times.
And to be honest, on Instagram, one of the guys, somebody replied that they just picked up the game. So,
yeah.
I mean, it's still out there. It's still, people are still picking it up. It's a fun 2-player game. So, we'll see what happens.
Yeah, it can be more. Not recommended.
Star Wars Legion will be coming out. Hopefully, we'll get to play that sometime soon.
Destiny,
more Mexican Minions. Even though that's not Star Wars.
We got
still.
So much shit to do.
Too much to do.
Too much to do and too little time.
Keep
so, if
out.
Anyone wants to pay us to do this, we'd appreciate it.
And
what?
Stop by Patreon and leave us $1. That's all we need. $1.
Yeah, just to know that somebody's actually there besides me.
Yeah.
And then we'll start filling that back up.
Have you heard this? Yeah, we're going to start putting this podcast will be on Patreon, some other ones, stuff and things. Yeah, you'll do it.
It's making more work for me. Awesome.
Oh, yeah. Copy and paste.
Yeah. Well, all right, that is that. You can find me on the Twittens at XorcinX.
Pair of sixes?
I think you are 6.5.
No, it was a pair of sixes. For sure.
Well, now I got to look. Yep, pair of sixes.
All right.
12 out of 20.
Yep, hard 12. The only 12.
12 the hard way. What?
Also 12 the easy way. 12 the only way.
So, XorcinX at Review and Roast for him. Facebook.com/ReviewAndRoast, ReviewAndRoast.com, ComicRoast.com, Instagram.com/ReviewAndRoast, Instagram.com. I know.
That's what. Yeah, you said XorcinX for him.
It doesn't matter.
None of this matters.
They know at this point because most of our podcasts are me rambling off all of our websites.
Just go to the Twittens.
And then 2 minutes of content.
Or hashtag ReviewAndRoast, yeah.
That too.
Do it.
All right. Have the Force will be there for you.